God's blessings upon us as we gather here in Jesus' name. And our opening hymn is On Jordan's Bank, The Baptist Cry. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgive you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our introit this morning is a psalm appointed for today, Psalm 85, which we will read responsively. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob.
You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sins.
You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger.
Three
you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations?
Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?
Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation.
Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to law.
Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land.
Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other.
Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky.
Yes, the Lord will give us fruit, and our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps away. We speak together the Kyrie. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated now for our scripture readings. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all of its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, and the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. Pitch you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I would invite you to rise for the Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. We speak together, Alleluia.
Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness, and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him, and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair, and wore a leather belt around his waist, and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Now let us confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed on page 5 in the bulletin.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. And was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated now as we sing the the hymn that's on the top of page 5, Prepare the Royal Mind. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from today's gospel reading, the second verse of Mark's gospel, where we read, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way." Let us pray. O Lord, our Emmanuel, may your words on my lips and their meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight. And we thank you, Jesus, for always being with us as we wait for your return on the last day. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, on a large and perhaps even a grand scale, preparations are underway for President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration and his first few days in office as our 46th President of the United States. And so every few days, we hear that some more folks have maybe been selected for his cabinet or for some other positions of importance. In this time of COVID-19, I'm sure that all of us, no matter what our political leanings might be, we want to transition from the Trump administration to the Biden administration to go seamlessly, if possible. We don't want our country to be needlessly open to any outside attacks by people who want to do us in or get rid of us or make life more miserable for us. Well, there's a certain date, January 20th, 2021. And as that date gets closer, I've looked around and what I've seen, it seems like there's less things happening around our capital in Washington, D.C. in preparation for that day, for that special day when we inaugurate our president. Because of the pandemic, and you know, it's all around us, there's less painting going on there, less sprucing up. Don't you wonder how many people have decided not to book flights or hotel rooms to be there in Washington, D.C.? Is there going to be a parade? There's usually a parade, isn't there? You know, and reviewing stands and all that, and units march by and all that. Will there be one? We don't know. Are people going to just be encouraged? Stay home. Watch it on TV. Yeah. Well, because of the pandemic, most of us have modified our preparations once again this year to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. December 25th this year is going to be a little different as we think back to Jesus being born that first Christmas in Bethlehem. For many of us, though, you know, we've already gotten things going around our home. To quote that old song, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas around the house, huh? However, rather than perhaps get together with our family and friends this year in person, we have decided to do things differently, many of us. So we're going to be sending out more Christmas cards, more emails, more tweets, more Facebook greetings, and visiting face-to-face over Zoom or through the glass of a window. Most of our plans to be somewhere other than home for the holidays, like making a special trip someplace, visiting relatives, just going away for a few days, that's just not going to happen this year. But in all those preparations that we are making, that we're going through to celebrate Christmas this year, are you and I putting on the back burner, or maybe missing, the reason for the season?
the celebration of the birth of the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. I'm asking that question this morning because Satan, the world, and our own sinful human nature oftentimes tempts us to overlook or even forget the true meaning of Christmas. And are being prepared to celebrate that again. Are being prepared for when Jesus comes back again. You know, sometimes we just lose that. It isn't always easy at Christmas time as well to always remember the most important Jesus. In the light of this challenge we all face, our Old Testament reading for today from Isaiah 40 is kind of interesting because God has some intimate and very personal things to say to each and every person. Now is not the time for God's law and his condemnation, especially against those we might think who, for mere science reasons, or maybe it's political science reasons, are encouraging us not to get together as God's people to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ this year. Rather, God says that now is the time to speak tenderly to everyone. It's an unexpected approach. Most people don't expect to hear some tender words from God, or even tender words from us who maybe are being told not to do certain things as God's people. God does things differently than how our sinful human beings and our sinful human nature do things. God tells all people that all their sins have been paid for. And it's nothing that they've done. Rather, God the Father has done it all for all of us through the redeeming work of his Son, the Savior, Christ the Lord. We are now acceptable to God, made so by God's grace, through faith in our Savior that God the Father sent. Our sins have been replaced by gifts of God's undeserved love, such gifts as the forgiveness of our sins, peace with God, eternal life. However, the good news continues to get lost. It gets lost, or it's not heard today by many people. Sometimes the conversations go everywhere but there about Jesus. But this is nothing new. The writer to Ecclesiastes reminds us that there is nothing new under the sun. Nevertheless, God, through his prophet Isaiah, tells us that God will always have his children in every generation as his spokesmen and spokeswomen, spokesboys, spokesgirls. They are the voice of God, the voice of God to share love to the masses of people. And so that includes us today. Quoting Isaiah the prophet, the gospel writer Mark tells us that John the Baptist in his day was a voice for God, and a voice for God's love. John was making preparations for Christ's coming in his day in a rather out-of-the-way place, down by the Jordan River, out by the wilderness. Of course, many of the people of John's day who heard him speak, rather than listening intently to the message about God's Christ, got caught up in other things. Like, we're sent from the folks in Jerusalem. You tell us what we want to hear. or like they got hung up on John's appearance. You know, Mark tells us about John's appearance. He says John was clothed in camel's hair, wore a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. Well, John the Baptist may have dressed strangely. He may have eaten odd food. He may have lived on the fringes of society, you know, out by the wilderness. But moved by the Holy Spirit, John got the message straight about Jesus Christ. He said, "After me comes one who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." John pointed people to Jesus, not to himself, but to Jesus, who John also described as the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. All that we do as disciples of Jesus Christ individually and that we do together, especially as we get closer to celebrating Christmas, should follow the example of John the Baptist. I'm not saying we got to dress up kind of in odd clothes or eat strange food or be in some offbeat place. Rather, as the Holy Spirit works in your life and in my life through the Word of God, like John, we can point people, individual people, to the true meaning of Christmas. And we can do that in spite of our social distancing, wearing masks, having to use Zoom or BlueJeans or some other video connections to be with people, or to talk through a window. You and I can still point people to Jesus, to Christ the Lord, who was born that first Christmas in Bethlehem, the Savior of the world. This really fits in with the mission and work that Jesus has given all of his disciples, all of his followers. And that includes us to do while we wait for his second coming. Our sharing the true meaning of Christmas as the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, is helping to prepare the way for the Lord to return on the last day, whenever that will be. Jesus desires each and every one of us to do our part in bringing the good news of salvation to the lives of other people. We may be having a hard time believing this, but many people still don't know the real meaning about Christmas. There are other people out there who have forgotten the real meaning of Christmas. And I know from my own experience, there's people out there who don't want to know about the real meaning of Christmas. Yet that should not deter us. John the Baptist told people what Christ the Lord meant for his life. Even in the midst of this pandemic, God still gives you and me many different opportunities to share what Jesus means to us individually. Our style or appearance doesn't matter. And what means we use to do that, to talk to people about Jesus, really doesn't matter. You can do it by Skype, as I said before, Facebook, phone calls, pictures. You know, my grandkids are great at sending me pictures, tweets, you know, and emails, snail mail, one-to-one, and so forth, you know, lots of different ways. It doesn't matter because the Holy Spirit works through whatever means you and I use and the words that we say about Jesus Christ. The Spirit causes the joy of our salvation through Jesus Christ to radiate out from us, even from behind a mask, you know, in many God-pleasing ways to other people. preparations for January 20th, 2021 are going to continue to up until that day. The preparations for Jesus Christ's second coming are ongoing. They are to continue too, being done by all of us and all of Jesus' disciples until that day arrives. But we don't know when that's going to be. Therefore, God encourages us to all be ready, to be ready ourselves for Jesus' return, as we keep our eyes focused in on Jesus. And may the Lord always assist us to help others to be ready for that day when Jesus returns as well, as we proclaim again and again, especially this time of the year, the truth about Christmas. It's a celebration of the birthday of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, may it keep our hearts and minds set on Christ Jesus. Amen. We now continue with the singing of the next hymn, which is on the top of page 6. Hark the Glad Sound. As you're able, I would invite you to rise for the prayer of the church. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, in your blessed patience, you send your prophets and apostles, pastors and teachers, in all times, that sinners would not perish, but rather reach repentance and find comfort in your word, which alone will stand forever. Preserve the servants of your church. Give to our congregation and all congregations an increase of hope, that we may await the revealing of the new heavens and new earth, and lives of holiness and godliness, diligent to be found without spot or blemish and at peace. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Restore us, O God, let your face shine, that we may be saved. And as you live Joseph by the law, so now by your Son, lead us into straight paths, bring us out of the bondage of our sins, and plant us securely in your eternal promises. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Holy Lord, preserve your gift of marriage against the ravages of sin, the schemes of the devil, and the raging of the world. Bless the couples and families of our congregation. Strengthen them in love and care for one another, and establish them on the foundation of your word. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
God, all our comfort, your word alone endures forever. Preserve us from placing our trust in princes and mortal men. Give us leaders who will rule after your good pleasure, keeping order and protecting life, that we may live in godly quietness and honesty. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
God of hosts, graciously regard all for whom we pray, especially this day those who have health issues, Major, Wayne, Sanda, Pastor Flatt, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Thirza, Alex, Debbie, Bella, Ava, Esther, Emily, and those whom we name in our hearts. Give health to our world and bring the pandemic to an end. Comfort all who mourn, all who are struggling, and those who are alone. We pray especially for our homebound, Barbara, Millie, Sylvia, Gertrude, Mary, Thirza, Jim, and Alex. Assure them of your promises in Jesus Christ that you are always with them. We also ask you, O God, to watch over all those who are traveling at this time. Especially we ask for your traveling blessings for Reverend Barry as he returns from the Midwest. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you once prepared the way of your only begotten Son through the preaching and baptism of John. Prepare your baptized children with true repentance and faith that seek the forgiveness of sins. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Into your hands, Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who has taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We continue, thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Let all who seek the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. He recalls his promises and leads his people forth in joy with shouts of thanksgiving. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated now as we continue with our last hymn, Jesus Came to Heaven's Door.
Thank you.
Do we have any announcements here?